Last summer, the Kennedy Center announced a partnership with the Mariinsky Theater of St. Petersburg, Russia, to bring both its opera and ballet companies to the center every year for the next 10 years. This week, the Mariinsky's Kirov Ballet kicks off its visit with the classic Sleeping Beauty and George Balanchine's Jewels. Kim Kokich reports.
Kennedy Center President Michael Kaiser says he wants American audiences to learn more about ballet's roots.
We wanted to introduce this 10 years by showing two sides of the company, the very, very classical and traditional Sleeping Beauty and the much more contemporary and one that you might not expect from the Kirov Jewels. It shows two very different parts of their repertory, and I wanted to show that diversity.
That diversity is all the more interesting because these two ballets are inextricably linked with Russian-born American choreographer George Balanchine, who as a little boy appeared as a page in Sleeping Beauty. Balanchine, who died in 1983, said that Sleeping Beauty was an inspiration to him, his heritage. And Jewels, which Balanchine choreographed in 1967, is considered to be his tribute to both his adopted country and his native one. He left Russia in 1924. Kennedy Center President Michael Kaiser believes that providing consistent exposure to this kind of artistic linkage builds a better audience.
When companies tour once every 4 or 5 years, it's wonderful to see them, but you don't build the same kind of knowledge base and the same kind of relationship. So my goal is really an artistic one.
One new goal is also woven into this new partnership, that of assuring an arts organization's financial health. So the Kennedy Center established the Vilar Institute for Arts Management to train people from here and abroad to become arts managers.
And the hope and the plan is to bring some from Russia each year so that we can provide back some trained arts administrators who really know how to work in fundraising and work in marketing and do financial management. And this, I think, will be a very important part of the relationship as well.
And so is updating the Kirov Ballet artistically. This company that gave the world Anna Pavlova, Rudolf Nureyev, and Mikhail Baryshnikov hasn't had the means to perform the ballets of Balanchine, its native son. Former Kirov dancer Makhar Vaziev is now director of the Kirov Ballet. He says performing Balanchine brings the Kirov into the present by pushing it to its limits.
I like Balanchine, and I would say for me also it's very important to have his works in our theatre because it's very, very necessary for us. I would say if you want to check your company, what kind of quality you have, bring Balanchine and you will see.
But one can't just dance any Balanchine ballet. His works are tightly controlled by the Balanchine Trust, and only authorized dancers are allowed to teach them. So Elise Born, ballet mistress for the San Francisco Ballet, was one of four former New York City ballet dancers who went to St. Petersburg to do just that.
I loved working there. I'd go back in a second.
Born says there were challenges she doesn't normally face when staging Balanchine elsewhere. One was the language barrier, especially when it came to deciphering Cyrillic cast lists. Another was not using videotape to clarify choreographic points to the dancers, something very important in the preservation of Balanchine's work.
They had one video machine that was kept in a little tiny room, like in an attic, in the Mariinsky Theater, that there was somebody there to watch over it. One man stayed up there. So if you had to go look at something in a pinch, you know, one or two people could go up there and fit into that room, but we did not have the ability of using a video in the studio, which is very unusual in this day and age.
Born says the Russian dancers worked very hard to master Balanchine's intricate and difficult steps and under grueling circumstances.
The hours that they work are quite interesting. We would be there rehearsing until 10 o'clock at night sometimes, which is very unusual in this country. Usually you stop working by 6 or 6:30. So we had those late hours, and we had a lot of counts in the music, which is something that that company is not used to. They're really geared for Swan Lake and Sleeping Beauty and fairly straightforward music, and the Stravinsky, the Rubies presented, I think, the largest challenge of all.
Jewels is divided into three sections. The first, Emeralds, is a soft, quiet, lyrical, romantic movement with music by Fauré. The last section, Diamonds, is set to a Tchaikovsky symphony. But in the middle is Rubies, with music by Stravinsky, a jazzy, complicated rhythmic romp. Judging from their performance this week, it's a challenge they clearly enjoy. It's now almost legendary in the dance world that those who've worked directly with Mr. Balanchine, also known as Mr. B, feel he's always watching the performance, especially now when his ballets are being embraced by his first home. Ballet mistress Elise Bourne says there was a spiritual quality to the entire endeavor.
Sitting in the Tsar's box out in the front of the Mariinsky Theater watching the Kirov Ballet and thinking Mr. B may have stood here or sat here or choreographed something here really went right to my heart and my soul.
Did you find that the other dancers who were teaching Jules having similar reactions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We all felt it. We felt that that was where it began for us, because that's where it began for Balanchine.
The Kirov Ballet of the Mariinsky Theater will return to the Kennedy Center next year, and every year after that, for the next 10 years. For NPR News, I'm Kim Kokich.